Good morning and welcome. Welcome to the slippery slope of lipids and other medical conditions. We are going to have a fast-paced and interesting program with Dr. Elizabeth Triana today from the Triana Prevention Center. And this is a live call-in talk program. So if you have any questions or comments along the way, you are certainly welcome to join our conversation. The phone number is 941-206-1580, 206-1580. And now here's your host of the show, Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning. Good morning, Todd. And good morning, everyone who's listening. And more and more, I hear more of my patients are tuning in, and I'm so happy. And when patients miss a show, I'm able to tell them, go to my website, listen to the show on different topics. I have patients who come in and ask questions about olive oil, about salt, about belly fat. And last week, we had a very good show, and I'm going to just recap some of the things we spoke about last week about belly fat.
I'm glad that you're going to, because A, it's a situation that I am fighting to do something about, and B, I was on vacation last week, so I am one of those people that missed your show. I was going to catch up by listening to the show on your website, but I'm waiting to hear some good information right now.
Well, there's very good information, and one of the things I had asked everyone to do out there, and I hope they did, and I'm going to go ahead and clap.
Let's have some applause.
There we go. Yeah, well, that's cool. Anyways, so one of them was to measure your waist. Remember we talked about measuring the waist? No, the waist is right above the hip bone.
Right above.
You feel right there. You put the measuring tape around the hip bone. Not over clothes. It has to be a bare belly. And don't suck it in.
Okay.
We need to be real, and we need to get that measurement. And why is that measurement so important? Because it has been found in numerous studies that is a major predictor for health, for vascular risk, cardiovascular risk. So if a woman's waist is greater than 35 inches, she's at higher risk. And if a man is greater than 40 inches. So for everyone who did that, I'm very proud of you that you're doing that. And again, I have women and men ask me, I am over the age of 50, they tell me, and I have this belly fat. We talked about the belly fat. Unfortunately, it is predisposed in many people. Number one, because of genetics. Number two, because of decreased hormones in women of estrogen. So there's a tendency for the fat to go not in the arms and legs, but go to the belly. And we also know that that's important because we also have what's called visceral fat, which means our organs can also be surrounded with fat. And that is also not healthy. So it isn't just the fat that's below the skin, which is called the subcutaneous tissue. So for everyone who did measure, I'm very, very proud of you. I know we have a lot of patients. You know, I really get inspired by my patients. When someone gets that little light bulb of inspiration and says, you know what? I'm going to change things around. And that isn't just about eating. It's about exercising. It's about smoking. It's about even alcohol intake, which we're going to do a whole show on. Actually, I'm sure it'll be more than one show. What does alcohol do to your body? Why does it also affect your fat cells? We also learned last week that your fat cells are there. So when you're born with your fat cells. So as you eat more and you eat more calories, the fat is stored in those cells and those cells become bigger.
I see.
So if you lose weight, you're going to lose that stored up energy. Remember, it's about calories. Calories is a unit of energy. So if you have those fat cells stored up, the fat cells are storing up fat, then as you lose weight, they start to shrink. So that's very important to know. It's not like you take your fat cells and you kill them and you throw them away and you get rid of them. No, they're there. Their job is to store fat. Now, when man first evolved, We needed that. We needed to store fat. People didn't know when the next food source was going to come.
Yes.
So that was important. But we now know through more and more information and research is that those fat cells are not just a Ziploc bag holding fat.
Okay.
They actually are like a gland. They produce hormones. And those hormones affect the way we store our fat and also our hunger.
So if I'm understanding what you're saying correctly, hormones not only determine how we store fat, but the fat itself makes hormones
which regulate fat. The fat cells, yes. Okay. So that's what we're going to talk about. So a lot of people talk about hunger.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to be hungry. And it's hard. It's hard. But a lot of patients, I tell them, you have to see, first of all, what makes you hungry. Mm-hmm. Many people have what we call insulin resistance. And we know that if they eat something sugary or something that turns into sugar, they're going to get hungry quicker. So I'm going to explain what exactly the term hunger and appetite.
Not exactly the same thing.
Not exactly the same thing.
All right.
Hunger is physiologic.
Mm-hmm.
It's influenced by hormones that are produced in your intestine, and it's influenced by hormones that are produced by your fat cells. So these hormones and what are called neurotransmitters, they affect that control center in your brain, the hypothalamus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't want everybody to say, well, big words, I'm shutting off the radio, I don't want to hear this. But I want people to start hearing the words to say. So when you hear these words on television and they say, those commercials, get rid of your belly fat.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's all about your belly fat. You're going to lose 10 pounds in 1 week. I'm sorry to tell you, it's not going to happen.
Right. You'll have a good baseline of knowledge to know what's right and what's not right.
And, you know, with advertising, as people mention things over and over again, mm-hmm. it sticks in the brain. So if there's some things, and I'm not just advertising, even in learning and studying, if words are mentioned, concepts are mentioned over and over again, it starts to sink in our brain.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, oh, now I understand that. So we know that the brain is the most important part, the hypothalamus. So what is appetite? Appetite is the desire to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you go to a nice restaurant, they put the food in front of you, the appearance, the presentation, the flavor, the taste,
mm-hmm.
the smell, all that affects our appetite.
All right. But that doesn't necessarily mean we are hungry.
Right. It doesn't mean that we're okay. hungry. And more information is coming out. We also know that when you're hungry, that feeling of fullness, it's called satiety, is also part of this hormone system mm-hmm. and what type of foods we eat. For example, there has been research saying that protein keeps us feeling full longer.
Protein keeps right. us feeling full longer.
Right. They did a research. I had two groups. And men, it was a small group. It was just men. And they increased the amount of protein in one. And we're not talking about, we're talking about 25% of the diet was protein.
Mm-hmm.
And the study found that the thoughts of food decreased. The late night desires, you know, the munchies that mm-hmm. some people get
right.
decrease.
Huh.
The feeling of fullness decrease. So that is one of the foods that we know will keep you feeling fuller longer.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So I want everyone to understand that your body talks to your brain. And we may not realize it, what's happening. And how does that body talk to your brain? In your intestines and in your stomach, it's very fascinating. There's a hormone called ghrelin. That's spelled G-H-R-E-L-I-N. And it works by increasing our appetite. And the important thing to understand these hormones is because research and studies are trying to see how is it we can help people who are overweight to lose weight.
So there's I'm sensing there's actually a feedback loop here.
There
in
is
the body.
A loop. Uh-huh. The ghrelin goes up before a meal, it goes down after a meal.
Okay.
And then there's another hormone that's produced by the fat cells. And I'm sure everybody's heard this, the leptin. It's called leptin.
Mm-hmm.
You see in these magazines the leptin diet.
Yes.
Well, leptin is produced by your fat cells. And it tells your brain, wait a minute, decrease your appetite. You don't need to eat as much.
Okay.
And it does, it regulates your energy stores and energy balance.
So this is a prescription medication?
No.
It's an experimental.
These are not any medications.
I see. Okay.
This is what's produced in your body.
Okay.
To tell your brain that you're hungry, to increase your appetite, that you need to eat more, or that you've had enough.
Okay.
Okay. What the research is trying to influence these naturally occurring hormones. Remember, hormones are like a telephone, a signal.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to, it tells the brain, look, we need to do this. You need to act in this way. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So we know that people are overweight, have an imbalance in these hormones. The energy intake and output in your body is influenced by these hormones. Now, I want to make it clear, though, I'm trying to get people to understand that there's a part of our body that influences us to be hungry. If you go to the, there is a wonderful website called the Obesity Society. It's a group of professionals who are trying to help people who are obese or overweight. And we know that obesity is not a one thing. It is influenced by environmental factors, genetic factors. So this is something that people and all of us need to understand. It is not just about, quote, the willpower factor.
Isn't there a certain emotional connection as well? Aren't there circumstances where people, they're neither hungry nor do they have an appetite, but habit or emotion, they want to eat. It satisfies something else in them.
That's behavioral factors.
Ah.
Behavior.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Many people will eat when they're depressed, when they're stressed. They'll eat more even though they're not hungry.
Mm-hmm.
It's also cultural. How many families get together?
So we have a caller. Let's go and see if we can answer a question. Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I am just sitting here studying my nutrition book, and I just like to thank the doctor for helping me because every single thing she said has been, like, right in order.
Oh, perfect.
It's hilarious, but after reading this chapter and then listening to the doctor, I've really, like, it says just like she said, you have to eat more, less fat, more fiber, more protein,
mm-hmm.
but I think, you know, like, I've been yo-yo dieting for 20 years. Lose 75, gain 80, lose 80, gain 90.
Mm-hmm. Hey, join the club.
And I think, like, the light bulb went on, you know, listening to you last week and then reading all these chapters, that it's really about more about moderation than anything and eating healthy instead of just, like, picking up those frozen dinners. You know, my brother and sister, you know, they had been on this track for a long time, and our parents died young of heart disease, and my brother and sister started eating foods with 3 ingredients or less, or 5 ingredients or less.
Yeah.
And they both, like, lost weight without really trying.
Okay.
So just reducing all those artificial things makes you eat less because it fills you up more because you're getting more fiber and less fat.
Right. And remember the protein. And I just want people to understand there's so much involved. And if you go, again, if you, since you're studying, go to obesitysociety.org. They're wonderful. They have a lot of good information. But the main thing to understand, and I'm glad you're listening. I really appreciate your call. Because I do feel that the more knowledge we have, the more we can help ourselves. And the fact that you're saying moderation, it is, yes, eating healthy. It is portion control. Yes, we need to move our bodies. All of this comes into play. And I really appreciate that you called.
Thank you so much, Colin.
Thanks for your information. It's awesome. Thanks.
Keep at it. Good for you. Thanks.
It's such a wonderful feeling to hear when people are saying they listen, they're learning. And it's so important. It's so important. Just knowing, I try to promote to my patients, know what medicines you're on, know what you're eating, read the labels. In September, the show is going to be a year old. And I tell you, I am so excited about that. I am excited that I am here and I get a phone call like that. It's just... I feel so good about that.
Here's something else, and I don't know if you noticed it or not, but here's a caller who essentially said she's been doing what you have been recommending all along. She has gotten herself to a point of being more informed. She's reading books. She's studying labels. She's paying attention to ingredients. She's looking at what other people are doing and talking to other people, and she's making sure that she's informed. She's not just cutting out this, cutting out that.
Right. It's very, very good. That really just thrills me. So again, going back to what affects us to be overweight, we know there is a genetic predisposition. We've seen families that they all carry maybe their weight in their belly or in their hips or in their legs. We see the behavior of certain groups of social events. I mean, where people get together and it's about the food. And families get together. And then we see also the environmental influences. So what we think, what we smell, what we taste affects how we deal with being overweight. It all comes into play.
Which it points to how complex a problem obesity is.
Yes.
And why there is no one-size-fits-all diet plan, because we all respond to these various stimuli very differently.
Right. And that is why also I promote prevention to try to prevent a serious event by understanding all the underlying factors. At the Triana Prevention Center, we help women who are in menopause. We help people who are diabetics. We help people who have high blood pressure to work and understand what is it, what's causing the problem, what can we do to fix it. Now, every one of us out here is human. I myself, I'm human. I have had a problem too with being overweight. I've gone up and down. I can relate. So when I sit there and I'm understanding and working and trying to exercise more, I can relate to my patients. In fact, one of my patients, I told him, I went on a trip and you know how they put you in that scanner now at the airport?
Yes, yeah, the security scanner. Yeah.
The security scanner. And I told the gentleman, the security, I said, okay, I'm only going to go in this security scanner if you promise me when I walk out, I'm going to look like Jennifer Lopez. He says, well, you got the attitude, but I can't promise you. So I know, and I even tell my patients, if there was a magic wand, don't you think I'd be using it on everybody and myself? You know, I see how patients struggle with smoking, with even alcohol intake, with obesity, just even simple things like remembering to take their medications. And I always am trying to, with my staff, which you know I have a wonderful staff.
They're great.
How is it that we can help our patients, give them the personal attention, and brainstorm to see what is it we can do to help them maybe remember to take their medication, to remember to read the label, to look at their portions.
You said something about, and I think it's interesting that the scanning machine made you think, wouldn't it be great if you could walk in one side, you walk out the other side, movie star.
Yeah.
Since that doesn't exist, are we getting any closer? Are we heading to where there are any pharmaceutical solutions to hunger, obesity, anything like that?
Again, since it's multifactorial, mm-hmm. remember we talked about, there are some medications that have just been approved by the FDA.
Okay.
And these medications, some of them, one of them is called, and I'm going to spell it because it's called Q-S-Y-M-I-A, Quizmia.
Okay.
And it's a combination of phentermine and topramate. These medicines work to decrease your appetite. And there's also Belvic, and it also works in the brain to decrease your appetite. Now, I will tell you that the other medicines out there, one of them is over-the-counter. It's called Ali.
Oh, yeah.
And that decreases your fat from being absorbed.
Right.
So you have to be on a low-fat diet, and it decreases your fat from being absorbed in your intestine. There's also out there phentermine, which is an appetite suppressant, and Meridia, which also helps with appetite. None of these are magic pills. They will help. They'll help patients to get in the road to start. But no one of these is a magic wand or a magic pill that's going to make that person lose 100 pounds. You have to still do the diet, the exercise.
You have to have a master plan. Perhaps a pill would be part of that plan, like you say, to jumpstart your weight loss or something. But there has to be a plan.
There has to be a plan. And I will tell you that the latest ones, Quizmia and Belvic, which have been FDA approved, are not yet in the pharmacies.
Okay.
As of last week, we did the research. They're not yet in the pharmacies. We are going to prescribe those medications at the Triana Prevention Center to help patients. If, again, each person is individual, mm-hmm. one medicine does not fit all. Some medicines may be okay for this person, but may actually not help the next person. So we have to look at the patient and see. Some of these medicines are contraindicated with other medicines and other health conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at this, right now, it's not in the pharmacies. The new medicines are FDA approved. I'm sure everyone saw it in the news.
Yeah.
But the only ones that are FDA so far are the Ali
mm-hmm.
and the phentermine, the Meridia are the ones.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another that's like phentermine that's also used to help for appetite suppressant.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, again, if you follow a good plan where you increase your protein, and I have actually recommended to many of my patients, I have no,
bias?
No compensation from recommending this.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the metabolic miracle,
mm-hmm.
the metabolism miracle, and the author is K-R-E-S-S. I have been recommending my own mother. I recommended this plan and she lost 30 pounds.
Hmm.
My own mother. So we have another caller.
Yeah, just hold that thought for 1 second. Let's see if somebody wants to get a question answered. Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yes. Doctor, maybe you can
yes.
Answer this question. What would you recommend to increase the HDLs in cholesterol and lower the LDLs and also the triglycerides? What would you recommend people do?
Okay. If you are not already on medication or if you are on medication, the best thing to do to raise your HDL is diet and exercise. If you're overweight, to lose weight and to exercise. Omega-3 fish oils will also help. Now, the LDL, the very best thing to lower the LDL, again, diet, exercise, Statins lower the LDL and will raise the HDL a little bit. Vitamins, niaspan, which is a vitamin B3, will also do that. But if since we're just talking today, focusing about foods and diet and exercise, your triglycerides, remember, is a fat. So if you eat too many calories, and what is your body going to do? Your body is going to take your extra food that you don't need and turn that food into fat. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that fat is going to be deposited in your fat cells. So triglycerides, when they're high, we recommend for patients to diet, exercise, lose weight, and also to cut back on their carbohydrates, because carbohydrates turn into sugar. Sugar, if you don't need that energy or if you don't use it up, it turns into fat. So I appreciate your call. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah. If you got any time, I got another question.
Go ahead, sir.
All right. In the fish oils,
yes,
the omega-3, I understand that the EPA and DHA components of the fish oil are very important.
That is the most important.
Okay. Now, the DHA, what would you recommend you take on a daily basis?
Well, if you have the EPA and DHA together, you add those up, and depending on how much you want to lower your triglycerides, for example, you should have at least 3 grams a day. Now, we're going to do a program dedicated to that, and I'm going to break down and explain. Because when you go to the store and you buy those omega-3 tablets, though a lot of them will say 1,000 milligrams.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to look what's inside of EPA and DHA. So we will discuss that.
But a good target number you just said was 3 grams?
Depending on how low you have to get
right
your triglycerides.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great, if you go to Arctic Fresh, that is it's actually produced by a local cardiologist.
Mm-hmm.
It really is very good. So go to their website.
Arctic Fresh.
Arctic Fresh.
Go Google
okay
it. It'll pop up for you.
All right.
We're out of time,
thank
sir.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You take care. Bye-bye. And we really are up to the last just about minute of the program. So any final thoughts, doctor?
Well, the final thoughts is my staff and myself are here to help you. We want you to have more good, healthy years. We want you to enjoy life. And there's so much to learn and do to help your health. And it's fun and it's interesting.
It can be.
So stay healthy.
Thank you, doctor. We look forward next Friday.
Next Friday. Thank you so much.
And don't forget to visit Dr. Triana's website, TrianaPreventionCenter.com. That's just like it sounds, TRIANA, PreventionCenter.com.